Well, this morning I want to continue with the theme that I had last week in terms of the place where you set your foot. But it's more about looking at how the promise of God sustains you, enabling us to walk in faith, assured that God will fulfill his promise to us. Our focus this morning is on Caleb. He lived at the same time as Joshua. And the background to the passage that we're going to look at is found in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, where it tells at one point where Moses sent out 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, to spy out the land that God had promised to them. And Caleb, along with Joshua, were two of the 12 spies sent out. And when they came back, after listening to the negative report from the majority of the spies, they were saying that the cities were fortified, the people were powerful, and that there were giants among them. This report was guaranteed to make the spirits of the people hit rock bottom when they heard about this. And yet Caleb, he risks the possibility of being stoned when he turned round and he silenced the people and he said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." As you will know, the people drew back from the promise of God, and instead of entering into the land, there was a whole generation wandered in the desert for 40 years until that whole generation had died off, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. We pick the story back up. It's 45 years later. Caleb is now 85 years old, but his enthusiasm and his faith has not diminished. This is not simply about a man who was still healthy and strong for his age. This was about a man holding on to a promise that God had given to him over 40 years ago. And with that, he has this confidence to now approach Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 14, reading from verses 6 to 14. It'll be on the screen. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people sink. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Caleb has faithfully held on to the promise given to him all these years previously. When he says, "On that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" This sustained him all these years, never questioning the years in the wilderness where they wandered aimlessly, but knowing that God will fulfill all that he said he would. That's faith. That's faith when you can hold on to a promise like that. And there was something about Caleb that caused him to stand out. Earlier in Deuteronomy 14, verse 24, the Lord said, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Being wholehearted meant Caleb never doubted that God would deliver on his promise. It was just as simple as that for him. The length of time that it took made no difference. And perhaps that is the stand that we need to make today. Simply believing that God will deliver on his promise. And we don't know how long it will take or what we will have to endure during the process, because we are constantly being challenged by the world around us. There was a prominent church leader who said it was a shame that the church had failed to adopt a new stance and pass certain legislation because it showed the church was out of step with the world. And if we believe and accept that the scriptures are the inspired word of God, it is right, is it right for the church to shift the goalposts in order to attract people into their buildings? When God is looking for people to be added to his kingdom, we need the word of God to give us a measuring rod. Something that produces a wholehearted response within us, that causes us to have what was referred to in Caleb as a different spirit. Caleb was prepared to be out of step with the majority, because in that way he would be obeying God rather than following the crowd. When we fail to live our lives by the standards that God lays out, we become distracted. We start to sin, and it makes no difference to our conscience, because the measuring rod gets gradually reduced until we have nothing by which to show a quality of life that actually honours God. So when God gives us a promise, he will remain true to it. All he asks is that we remain wholehearted. So how are we at keeping our promises to God? Do you find when you're in a place of desperation, when all of a sudden that we're in real need, and it's a case of, "Lord, I'll do anything if you only do such and such"? I read about a man called Louis Zamperini. I tell you, I wish there was easier names this morning. See some of them. Anyway, Louis Zamperini, he was an American World War II veteran, and his plane was shot down during the Second World War. He survived 47 days at sea on a life raft, him and one other guy. And it was also shark-infested waters. He eventually reached dry land, and it was in Japan. He ended up in a Japanese prisoner of war camp. In that camp, he was severely ill-treated by one particular guard. There's actually a film made about it called Unbroken. Some of you may have seen it. And it doesn't trace his life so much later. It gives you more about the survival and being in a prisoner of war camp. But Louis, he said, "All I did was pray to God every day. In prison camp, the main prayer was, 'Get me home alive, God, and I'll seek you and serve you.' And then he says, 'I came home, got wrapped up in the celebration, and forgot about the hundreds of promises that I'd made to God.' When he came home after the war, he was treated like a hero. He struggled to cope with his horrific experiences during his 2 years as a prisoner of war. His prison guard was a constant figure in his nightmares, and he always planned to return to Japan and murder the prison guard. That's what kept him going. His only escape during this time was turning to alcohol, but it was his wife who urged him to attend a Billy Graham crusade, because otherwise the marriage was doomed to fail. It was in an interview later he recalled going along to the Billy Graham crusade. He said, "I got under conviction," he says, "and I got mad because of the scriptures he read. He grabbed his wife and he said, 'Let's get out of here. Don't ever bring me back to a place like this again.' but the next day, she persuaded him to go back. And he said, okay, I'll go under one condition. When this fellow says, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm getting out. And his wife said, fine. Billy Graham's preaching reminded him of his prayers and his promises that he had made previously. During that time in a life raft at sea and also in the prison camp. And that night, Louis committed his life to Christ. And when he went home that same evening, he poured all the alcohol that he had down the drain. He forgave his captors and his nightmares ceased. God was faithful. He heard his cry. And when he turned to him wholeheartedly, God responded. You know, the word of God says in Romans 10, verses 9 to 11, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And that was certainly the truth for this man. He was not disappointed. As soon as he turned to that place and confessed with his mouth and received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour, the nightmare stopped. His life was changed and transformed. Having faith will change our lives, as we read as it did for this man. He got saved, he went on to become an evangelist. His wholehearted commitment led him to follow through not only the promise that he made, but to believe in the promise of God that he was saved. He was forgiven. It's a remarkable story of what God can do. And you know, we've all been given that same promise. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. Who are we believing in this morning? What is it that attracts us in our life? Is it things of the world, or is it God himself? Do we long to follow him wholeheartedly? See, when we go back to Caleb, he understood the nature of the Lord's promises. He didn't set conditions or a timetable in terms of when it would be fulfilled. I'm sure after all these years that Caleb realized that time was not the issue as far as the Lord was concerned. You know, this is an encouragement to faithful individuals and churches that work away diligently, day after day, month after month, year after year, staying true to the gospel, yet seeing very little growth, or even those who have remained faithful in long-term prayer and witnessing to unbelieving family members. And it made me consider how many of the promises that I had been holding on to God for have I given up on, because it's just taken too long. And we often give up. How many of us have given up on praying for family members because it's taken too long and we just don't see any change in them? In verse 11, Caleb says, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. The now and the then of Caleb's life were consistent before God. He's been waiting, but now he remains as ready as ever. In fact, there's one commentator says that Caleb was like a dog straining at a leash. He was just champing the bit, desperate to get back out there. What a witness to remaining true to the promise of God. That he wasn't afraid to step out into the land, even with the battles that still lay ahead. At 85 years old, that's him going. Still champing at the bit, ready for battle. Having the confidence that God will give you the ability for such a task always lies in having faith in God and not in our own ability. Because otherwise, we will give up. And I'm sure we can all look back over our lives and see there are things that we have gave up on because it just took too long. So Caleb realized that he had to be dependent on God. The task ahead was huge, and he knew it. But Caleb was looking at it with the eyes of faith. And that's where the difference comes in. You know, how you look at things can have a big difference on your life. There's a true story about an American shoe company. They sent a salesman to a foreign country, and the salesman had hardly arrived when he sent a message back to his employer. And he says, "You'll need to send me a return ticket." He says, "There's no one over here wears shoes." So they sent him a ticket, and the man makes his way back to the company again. But the company decided that they would send somebody else out. They sent another salesman out. And soon afterwards, he sent a message back to his head office saying, "Send me all the shoes you can manufacture. The market is unlimited. No one has shoes here." And the difference was in how you look at it. How do we look at things? The moral is simple. The eyes that lack faith see difficulties and very quickly get discouraged. But the eyes of faith see an opportunity. Caleb had a different spirit. And with the eyes of faith, he knew exactly what lay ahead. And he knew that with God, it was possible. We know that the Lord made good in his promise. He delivered just as Caleb trusted him to do. What can we learn from these examples that scriptures give us? For one thing, our timetable is not God's. He's not governed or coerced by what we want and when we want it. And that takes faith to hold on to that. That God doesn't work according to our timetable. And also our response is to follow wholeheartedly, even in the midst of difficulties. Or that time of drudgery when you feel it's just going on and on and on. And you think nothing's happening, nothing's changing. When you've waited year after year after year. So it's having the faith to hold on to what God has promised. Because if God has promised it, it will happen. And that's the thought that needs to sustain us in the difficult times. It's also about getting on with the business of serving the Lord, rather than being distracted with the waiting. We're not called to adopt the culture of this world where it says, "I want it and I want it now. Yesterday wasn't soon enough." We live in a world where we want things instantly. God's ways are not the same way as the world. We are called to love with the love of God. And there are times where that is difficult to do. When things keep coming at you, people see things, they do things, and you get upset, and still we're called to show the love of God. Even in circumstances like that. So the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, when it gets out there, can change the most stubborn heart. Do you know how I know that? It worked for me. Did it work for you? But it can change the most stubborn heart, where God can transform us. He can bring about changes in circumstances that would never otherwise happen. So this morning, have faith and believe in God, a God who fulfills his promises. You can go through this start to finish and find that God is faithful. He is true to his word. He is consistent and he will follow through in the things that he's promised. This morning, perhaps you want to go back and revisit some of the promises that you were aware of that God had given you. You may need to take time to say, "Lord, forgive me, I've moved away from that. Or I forgot about it. Or I gave up on it." Perhaps it's time to come back and revisit and say, "Lord, help me." Have the faith to stand firm and wait until you bring these things to completion. Is there family members that we've been praying for? And you look and you think, no hope there. No, with the eyes of the world, but with the eyes of God, the eyes of faith, there is. Allow God to help us, to sustain us in these times when it looks like failure. But it's just the passage of time. And allow God to fulfill that in these days. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would indeed move our hearts this morning to be reminded of the things that you've set out before us in days gone past. Remind us, Lord God, that you are true to your promises. Forgive us, Lord, when we have turned away or forgotten or dismissed that it's never going to happen. Bring us back to that place of faith where you receive from your people a wholehearted response. Lord God, give us a different spirit that continually seeks after you to follow after your ways and to give you the place that you so truly deserve in our lives. Lord, help us love one another, even in the face of adversity. Help us, Lord God, to display the love of Christ, to encourage others to call on his name, that they also would be saved. Lord God, use us, we pray. Watch over us, strengthen us, help us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go invite Vivian to come up and lead us in our closing worship together.